What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Ultimate Patriots Dr. Football Podcast. This is the Around the League Podcast, where we talk about all the goings-on outside of Foxborough, where they are playing real, actual NFL football on a consistent week-to-week basis. Joining me, as always, for this magical journey around the NFL is my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Justin Fine. And what is going on? The CEO of Hedgebetter himself. How you doing, my man?
Doing well, doing well. Another interesting weekend of football in the books, right?
Yeah, I think you could say that. You know, there was certainly, I mean, we're getting into crunch time, and there was a lot of close games, a lot of interesting developments this week.
There were. And I think we're seeing some teams emerge. I think we're, you know, this is usually that time of year where I think you start to see some teams separate themselves from the pack. And I think we're getting a pretty good idea who that is.
I agree with that 100%. Let's get into it, Justin. Let's start with one of those teams that's emerging from the pack, or perhaps has already emerged from the pack, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if you saw the game last night. Terrific Monday night game. The Kansas City Chiefs, I don't know how they're – are they 8-0 now? Not 8-0, I believe, right?
8-0, yeah.
I don't know how they're doing it. It just feels like they have a horseshoe where it counts. They continue to win – these super close games, get all the breaks. I think it's time that we have to start at least being serious about their undefeated bid, because if you look at their upcoming schedule, there's only maybe two or three losable games on the schedule. I mean, they actually have a relatively easy path for a team that's a first place team coming off the Super Bowl. So I think we have to start considering the fact that it might actually happen.
I'd hate for that to happen, but you know what? It is a possibility at this point. And they just find ways to win. It's so eerily reminiscent of the Brady and Belichick era. Like, it's just continuously next man up. It doesn't seem to matter like who gets injured or who misses a game or who's not playing their best. Like, they're just able to find ways to win games and be better than you. And they're just winning games that I don't even want to say that they shouldn't, but they're just finding ways to come out on top. Consistently. That's what we saw here for so many years, and we're seeing it with them. It's eerily similar. They're executing it very well.
Yeah, and you know, they're doing it in a way that is sometimes ugly and choppy. The offense does not look good. Mahomes is probably having his worst year as a pro, certainly statistically. But here's the thing about Mahomes. Okay, it's ugly. He doesn't look good. The stats haven't been there. When they need a big play, whether it's a third down play, whether it's a fourth quarter play, overtime play, Pat Mahomes is still making those big plays. It's almost maddening because you watch them and they suck, but then they get in this situation where they need this third and 11 and Mahomes finds a way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. He still makes big plays when it counts. He still comes up clutch. Travis Kelce has been, I know he came out, he started off the season pretty slow, but he's heated up the last couple games. They just find a way. They find a way. And like you said, even when Mahomes isn't at his best, he's good enough at the right moments.
He was like 12 for 12 on third downs last night.
Yeah,
which is unbelievable. I think he you know, led the go-ahead touchdown drive, then led the drive in overtime, right?
Yep.
There was times where they were sputtering. But when it really matters, Mahomes still finds a way to do it. Like you said, very Brady and Belichick-like. And of that, in that note, Justin, I don't know if you're aware of this, the Chiefs have won 14 games in a row. So they're only 7 games away now from the 21 in a row that the Patriots won in 2003 and 4.
Yeah, and that's coming up, man. That's coming up. They could pass that this year. So yeah, big, big opportunity for them. Hope they don't, but it's going to be interesting now because you're at the point, once you hit like that 8-0 mark, now you're at the point where like it actually is kind of on people's radar, right? Like nobody really cares when you're 3-4, 5-0, you know what I mean? Now it's serious now.
It's serious now. And I think all of the football viewing world is looking towards this game in Buffalo in 2 weeks as really being like an AFC clash of the Titans and probably the best chance remaining on the schedule for someone to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, beyond that, if you just give me a sec, I'm going to pull out their schedule. And I know they have Denver at home this week. That's a win. Then they go to Buffalo. Then they got the Panthers. Okay, chalk that up as a win. Then they got the Raiders. Chalk that up as a win. They host the Chargers, who are not going to beat them. That's a Sunday night game in Arrowhead. They got the Browns. Then they got the Texans. That's at home. That's a losable game. At the Steelers on Christmas Day. Meh. And then the Broncos in Denver on January 5th. Who knows what Denver's going to be even playing for at that point, though they are a playoff team now. The point is, let's be honest, that's a relatively easy remaining path for a really good team.
It is. I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to throw myself out there for a second and make a bold prediction. I think Denver comes in and beats them this week.
This week?
Yeah, I think Denver comes in.
I'm taking the points. I think they're a double-digit underdog.
Yeah, I just, you know what? This Denver team, they're coming off a bad performance and a bad showing against the Ravens. But the Ravens offense is way more dynamic at this point than the Kansas City offense, right? It's a divisional game. The Broncos have played the Chiefs tough in the past.
They always play in Kansas City tough.
Yes, they always play in Kansas City tough. And I think between, you know, Sean Payton and that defense, and if Bo Nix can play well, especially, you know what, the Chiefs are battered and bruised, and they're really just coming off a tough, tough stretch of games. They just win a big game on Monday night in overtime. It's like the perfect time to catch them.
I agree. And it's like a look ahead game, right?
Yes.
Where they have that huge game with Buffalo coming up in 2 weeks. Divisional opponent coming in. Denver is a much better team than we anticipated. Right. They're no slouch, and they have a good defense. Yes. I agree. I love that pick. I don't know if I would take them on the money line. I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but I believe they're 10-point underdog.
Yeah. No, I'll be taking the points for sure.
And I'm going to take those points as well.
Yeah.
On the other side of the game last night, Justin, look, Baker Mayfield, man, he was dealing last night. Did you stay up for the end of that game?
You know what? I missed it. I fell asleep at the end.
Dude, he was dealing. And that was one of the best two-minute drives to tie that game, 24-17, get the ball. I think they had one timeout left. Mayfield was like money on that drive. Like, he was so poised. He was so in command. Made plays. Just like a terrific drive. Cleveland must feel so dumb when they watch Baker Mayfield just look as good as he's looked.
Oh yeah, they totally, totally blew that. Baker's a tough. He's a tough son of a gun, man. I got to give it to him. Like, he's resilient. He's talented, and he's bounced around, and he's finally kind of found his home. I mean, look, how many quarterbacks settle into a franchise role in their fourth stint? You know what I mean? Yeah, they could say, totally. Or even fifth stint, I think, if I'm keeping track correctly. But regardless, like, this was a dude who was bounced around. He bounced around to LA. He bounced around to Carolina. Like, he was literally tossed around as if he was valueless. And now here he is in Tampa Bay, finding this level of success. And not only that, wheeling and dealing without his two top options, both Chris Godwin Evans out, you know, for a while, if not the rest of the season. So yeah, I got to give Baker props, man.
In the rain.
Yeah.
Driving rain.
Yeah.
On the road, arguably toughest stadium in the league to play in.
Yeah.
Without your two best weapons.
Yeah.
Went in there and really made a terrific bid to win that game. And I would say this, Justin, you know, similar to the Patriots, Todd Bowles, you got to go for two in that spot. You got to read the room. You got to read the situation. The analytics are one thing. It's a 3% difference according to analytics. That is not huge. And it's easy to imagine those little individual factors, those unique factors that every game has, tilting that 3% one way or the other. And I think, just like with the Patriots last week, not going for two was a huge mistake for Tampa Bay last night.
Well, here's your tilt. I'm pretty sure the Kansas City Chiefs have like a near perfect record in overtime when they go to it. So there you go. You're going to go into overtime with Kansas City oh, on the road in Arrowhead, or are you going to take your chances there? I mean, I think that should have been hopefully clear. Obviously it wasn't. But you know what? The last thing I'll say about Baker is I still don't think he's the most, I think he's good. He's not the most talented quarterback. I think he's just at the point where he just has like a screw it mentality. He's been bounced around. He's been thrown to the side and he's just saying, you know what? Screw it. He's got confidence. He's got cojones of steel and he's just going out there and he's not letting anybody get in his head or mess him up. He's just leaving it out in the field and he's playing with confidence.
He's a competitor.
Yes.
And like, you know, like honestly, like the way Drake May led the drive up the field against the Titans, that was a competitor. And I saw those same traits in Baker Mayfield last night.
Yeah.
He's a competitor. He plays hard. He puts everything out there. We talk a lot about Trevor Lawrence and I'm like thinking in my head as I'm watching, you know, 6 foot Baker Mayfield with a, you know, 30% less strong arm than Trevor Lawrence go out there, show the moxie, the stones, the cojones he shows. This is why Trevor Lawrence never wins because he doesn't play like Baker Mayfield played last night. He doesn't care. He doesn't have that resilience, that toughness, that drive, that competitiveness.
Right.
You know, Mayfield showed all that last night. And I was really impressed for them to even be in the position they were in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Me too. I thought they were going to have a tough time an hour ahead. And Baker kept him in and kept him competitive. And, you know, it's good to see. It really is interesting to see. And it's tough not to root for Baker in the Bucs.
It's tough not to root for them. I agree with that. Let's stay in the NFC South division, Josh. Justin, we have another coach whose head was chopped off, Dennis Allen of the New Orleans Saints, fired after a 7-game losing streak. He's in his third season as coach. Obviously, that franchise is going nowhere. He is saddled with what I would say is the president of the Talented Loser Club and Derek Carr. I get my Talented Losers confused sometimes. Sorry. But I mean, I know I sent you a few things that I saw circulating around about Carr being one of the most losing quarterback in the history of the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
He's now lost to all 32 teams or something like that. First guy to ever do that. Any thoughts on Dennis Allen getting fired? I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, super straightforward. I don't think he was super well liked. I mean, he didn't, you know, I think it was about time that he went. But you know what? He was going to have a tough time finding success with Derek Carr. You know, it's so funny. I think back to those first 2 weeks, everybody hyping up New Orleans and hyping up Derek Carr. And it was, oh,
we called it.
We did. Because a talented loser is only going to take you so far. He's not going to keep that up. And he did it. He did it. If there's two things you can count on Derek Carr for, it's to inevitably revert back to being a loser and making a stupid play. And it's also to get hurt and miss time in big situations. Like those are the two things you can count
on. Which he's done both of this year,
brother. He's done both of them. So he's just, if anything, he's consistent. That may be part of the talented part, right? He's consistently a loser.
But this isn't just a talented loser. This is a talented loser who's on like the back end of his career.
Yeah.
So it's just like getting worse and worse. And
exactly.
But lose to that Carolina team. Hey, honestly, like for all the shit I've given Bryce Young over the last 2 years, I'd love to see that guy ball out, win a game this week, you know, and actually maybe show some signs of life in his career. Funnily enough, Carolina's head coach won't even commit to him being the starter this week. But I was happy for Bryce Young, at least, Justin, that he was able to win a game.
Yeah, I was kind of happy for Bryce, too. I mean, I think if anything, just on a human level, I was kind of happy for him because that's what he's going through has to be really tough. I'm sure he's having a difficult time handling all that. I think it's very clear he's not going to be the future franchise quarterback of the Panthers. But if he can at least just maybe get some confidence back, build some momentum, just give him a little bit of lift so that he can go somewhere else and try to reestablish himself. Like, it's going to be the worst thing in the world.
I mean, yeah. And like, if you're Carolina, what do you have to lose by playing him at this point? You're 2-7.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the fast track for the number one pick. You're going to trot poor old Andy Dalton out there as like a bag of bones at this point. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
right.
come on. I mean, play the kid, see what you maybe surprises you, maybe not. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's crazy that they're going to potentially throw Andy Dalton out there again on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
All right. Let's talk, Justin, about a team that seems to be on the right path again, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles. I will say this, a couple of weeks ago, it looked like there was something fundamentally wrong in their locker room. They've now won a few games. It's looked better. I watched a lot of that game against Jacksonville, against, if we call Derek Carr the king of talented losers, Trevor Lawrence is the prince of the talented losers.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni, for all the fact that they're winning, they might be the second best team in the NFC. I know you can't fire him. He deserved to be fired if they lost that game against Jacksonville for the reckless way he coached that game. Passing up three extra points and going 0 for 3 on two-point conversions when there was no need to go for two. Okay. Not kicking a 40-yard field goal and going for it on fourth down and not getting it. Sloppy, reckless analytics to that Brandon Staley level of self-defeating analytics, if you want to call it that. If the Jacksonville Jaguars somehow found a way to win that game on Sunday and they were in position to do so, Sirianni, I'm sorry. Like, has a 6-3 coach ever been fired? He would have been the first one to deserve it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sold that the team has figured it out yet, because I think their problems are a little bit more symptomatic than just beating a couple of bad teams as of late. I mean, you know, like, I know they've won, they're on a 3-game winning streak, but for the love of God, look at the talent on that roster. They played the Browns, they played the Giants, and they played the Jaguars, right? I mean, you know, I don't think winning those three games really means much of anything, if we're being honest. So, you know, I want to see how that holds up. This team still has a long way to go. I think in terms of getting themselves on the right track in being able to beat like a Detroit, or being able to go into a Super Bowl and beat like a Kansas City or someone like that. But you know what? I don't know.
Well, to your point, Justin, though, right? Like you can see why guys in that locker room might lose buy-in or have a problem with Nick Sirianni when he coaches the game like he coached on Sunday.
Well, absolutely. And I think he's just a very, I don't know what it is. Like, he's just an unlikable guy. I don't know why. I just can see him rubbing a lot of his teammates the wrong way. I know it's been reported that Jalen Hurts does not like him. How long can you get away with that? Like, until before the levee breaks, right? Like, there's just too much going on right now. I think you're just delaying the inevitable. Like, him winning those last, the Eagles winning these last three games, all it is just delaying, I think, this inevitable meltdown, the inevitable moving on and replacing of Nick Sirianni in Philly.
You know, that may well be true when the competition gets tougher, but I will say this, the one thing that Eagles team has, and I was dead wrong about the Saquon Barkley signing, but a team that can run the ball, like they can run the ball.
Yeah.
You don't need to be an analytics genius or a coaching genius to freaking win games with the talent they have on that roster. I mean, Saquon Barkley is proving to be a home run that has a lot left in the tank. Give the ball to Saquon Barkley, kick your friggin' extra points, kick your damn field goals, let Jalen Hurts make a few plays for you here and there, and win some friggin' games. It's not hard.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, did you see the backwards hurdle?
Yeah, that was amazing. It's already a Nike commercial.
Yeah, I've literally never seen anything like that. That was absolutely incredible. You got so much talent on that team. It's almost, I feel like, hard to screw it up. You know, like, they're so talented, both sides of the ball. You really just need somebody who's not going to come in and mess things up. And Nick Sirianni still needs to prove that he could do that. But you know what? Like, you should be able to do something with this group of guys. They're just too talented, I think, to be as bad as they have been at times.
He might not even be that bad of a coach in terms of like X's and O's and all the other stuff.
But
like analytics shit where he gets in his own head and he outthinks it. And I mean, look, I'll put it to you this way. If you ever play blackjack and the odds on blackjack, if you play it right, are like 51, 49 towards the house,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if you don't play blackjack right, then the odds become like 60, 40 or 70, 30. You know what I mean? You have to take these probabilities in context. If you sit down at a table and you're playing blackjack and the person next to you is playing whatever, like they're not playing the basic strategy the way they're supposed to, then your 51-49 now becomes 60-40 or 70-30.
Exactly.
So those external factors count, is my point, into like how these probabilities play out. So when you get too wrapped up in this analytics and you don't look at the individual characteristics of that situation, then that's how these guys get burned. And Nick Sirianni flirts with that pretty much every friggin' week that he coaches the Philadelphia Eagles. At some point, you know, is it going to burn him? I don't know, but it would be so much better if he just played the game simpler.
I agree. I don't think he's at the point where I don't think he's good enough as a coach to make it too complicated. And but you know what? That team is good enough that you can win with simple. And so I think that's what he needs to do. And I also just wonder too how much I wonder how much that team actually likes him. Like I find it hard to believe that Jalen Hurts is the only buddy in that locker room, the only person in that locker room that doesn't like him or doesn't respect him.
Well, so, you know what, Justin, they actually have a tough schedule coming up with some tough games, and you're going to get the litmus test on that when they lose a couple games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, two games against the Commanders, the Rams are playing better. They go to Baltimore. They play the Steelers. They got some division games coming up. They lose a couple games. You're really going to get a sense of if that locker room is fixed or if it is just the fact that they've been beating up on some bad teams the last few weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
All right. And then one quick other thing about this game, Jacksonville 100% should have won this game. Trevor Lawrence throws an awful pick in the end zone. Stupid throw. Guy in his fourth year should know better. Just Trevor being Trevor.
Yeah, yeah. Trevor being Trevor. The guy is, like we said, another talented loser. Just honestly, I can't stand him at this point. Like, I think my dislike for him is continuing to grow because I just can't fathom why people are still haven't given up on him. I don't know. I'm just losing patience with him as time goes on.
He's getting, I think, relatively worse. And his numbers actually haven't been even that bad this year. It might statistically have been one of his better years, but like in terms of like winning and doing all the things you need to do to win, Trevor Lawrence is getting worse in there. He's regressing.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I agree totally.
All right. We got to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's one of the other big stories. They're basically putting up the white flag and quitting for the year. I think they're 3-5 now. I saw on SportsCenter today, Dak Prescott's cap number next year is $89 million. They were talking about, by the way, on SportsCenter, something we talked about last week. They stole our take, which is they should let Micah Parsons walk. I don't think they have any choice but to do that.
Yep.
I find it interesting, Justin, that Dak Prescott all of a sudden has a hamstring injury after this. If I'm Dak Prescott, I feel like, you know, I'm a good quarterback. Maybe I'm not a great quarterback. I feel like I've been thrown out there under the bus. I feel like the team was not built to win, that I've become the fall guy for this lousy team that the Jones family built. And if my hamstring tweaks even the littlest bit, I can totally see it and understand why Prescott would be like, you know what? I'm out. Like, see you in 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, no, totally. I think the rest of that team is kind of given up. I think he's probably realizing that there is a deep culture problem in that organization. They're just totally, totally trending in the wrong direction. And I he always winds up, it seems like, to be the whipping boy for, you know, when things go wrong with this team.
The Joneses.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So it's like, you know what? Like, if I'm Dak, I'm like, look, everyone wants to point the finger at me right now. All right. You know what? Let's see how this team looks like without me.
I 10,000% agree with that. And I think in a sense, you know, this is a great career move for Dak, because when he goes and sits out and when they have, I don't even know who their freaking backup quarterback is, it Trey Lance or they got someone else.
Yeah. Trey.
Who's going to play? Is Trey Lance going to play?
I think Trey Lance is slotted to start against the Eagles.
Okay. Okay. You know, but like, people are going to miss Dak Prescott, and they're going to realize that while he's not a great quarterback, It's Cooper Rush is going to start, by the way. Not Trey Lance.
Oh, really? Now. It is Cooper Rush. Okay.
Yep. Who's not terrible.
No, he's not bad at all, honestly.
People are going to miss Dak Prescott. And I think that in a smart way, this was almost like a self-preservation for Prescott.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. All right. And then Mike McCarthy still, I mean, waiting, wondering if he's going to get the axe. I will say this. Belichick watch. Is that Dallas job an appealing job right now? It doesn't look like an appealing job. If I'm Bill Belichick, I want nothing to do with that shit show down there.
No. I wouldn't want anything to do with Dallas if I was Bill Belichick. Look, Bill Belichick, if I'm Bill, I'm sitting back and I'm being patient because there's a couple of good opportunities out there, but I don't think that's one of them.
I honestly think as we get deeper into this year, I feel more and more validated by saying that I don't think Belichick is going to coach again, because where is the great situation for him? He is not there. This place where he's going to come in and just kind of like 3-year deal, pick up the baton, it doesn't exist. And he's not going to want to rebuild because he's too old. And it's just too much, I think, right now. I really feel like more and more, this is it. But I guess we will find out this year.
Yeah, we will. I mean, look, even if he takes the year off and comes back next year, I mean, we'll see. I'm sure a couple of spots will open up at the end of the year. But anything that's opening up mid-season right now, I can't see it. The only spot that I could see him going to mid-season could potentially be Philadelphia. But that's not going to happen
because they're the second best team in the NFC. So they're going to ride it out, I think, with Sirianni, unless it gets really bad.
I think so too. But you know what? You lose a couple games during that tough stretch. Who knows? I think Howie Roseman and that Eagles organization, I think they're starting to get a little impatient. I think they are. Yeah,
I agree with that.
You know? So I don't know. We'll see. But I could see Sirianni getting the boot if they start to trend in the wrong direction in the second half.
I think that would be crazy because they're right in it. But I mean, I agree with you. You know, if it could ever happen to anyone, it would be Sirianni because he's so off the map in the way he does things.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We got to talk about the Detroit Lions, Justin. Yeah. And that was a big win in Green Bay in the rain. Oh, they can't win in the rain. They won in the rain. They can't win outdoors. They went outdoors. They didn't just win. They dominated. They outclassed the Green Bay Packers. I think they have proven they are clearly the class of the NFC. Want to say they're the best team in the NFL, but the Chiefs, sorry, no. First drive of that game, Detroit Lions go for it on a 4th-and-5. Gutsy, ballsy call by Dan Campbell. It works out. What I want to say about that is let us not forget, Justin, that it is live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah.
And don't forget the NFC Championship game last year, because that mindset may have won them a game in Green Bay on Sunday, but it also may have cost them a chance to win a Super Bowl last year. We love it as fans. It plays to the masses. It's super entertaining to watch how aggressive and fun and imaginative they are. Is it going to come back and bite them? What do you think about Dan Campbell and his aggressive approach? As fans, we love it, but is it going to win them a Super Bowl?
You know, I do love it as a fan. I mean, you know what? Is it going to win them a Super Bowl? Such a loaded question. I mean, you know, it just depends on, I guess, how the coin lands, right? I mean, it really is a toss up. I guess when you're as talented as you are, you know, I guess you may, the odds may be slightly better than, you know, what the statistics may say. But but look, that is going to be something that I think, you know, this team is going to have to live and die with. And I have the respect for Dan Campbell to say, look, this is who we are. This is who I am. We are not going to change. I haven't changed. We're consistently going to be aggressive. We're consistently going to push the envelope. I kind of respect him sticking with everything.
Yeah. I mean, I respect it. I love it. It's just like, let's not forget it burned them in the postseason last year.
Yeah, it did. No, it totally did. They should have won that San Francisco game. Couple of dumb decisions. Who knows? Maybe, you know what? I mean, I find it very tough to believe that all of a sudden you know, in that same situation, they would switch and be conservative. But you know what? Again, I think it's just, it's part of the consistency. It's part of prepping for that situation. If you're faced with it again, is being in it in overcoming during the regular season, I guess, when you have do-overs.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, you know, Justin, just to play the other side of it too, is like, I mean, part of the whole Lions thing, and I can't believe we're talking about like the Lions as being an organization with a unique culture.
Yeah.
But that's really what they've become or are becoming with the way they do things. But part of the Lion way, if you will, is this like aggressive win in it to win it type mentality. And part of that is setting a tone by making decisions like that. You know, it's like that. That's part of what they do from a culture sense.
Yeah, agreed. And one other thing I just want to point out that the Lions accomplished the other night is, you know, you're down your best defensive player in Aiden Hutchinson. And then arguably your second best defensive player gets tossed in the first quarter in Brian Branch, who's just been absolutely electric. And you're still able to go into Lambeau and keep that Packers offense in check and win that game. Yeah. That was super impressive because I think this Lions defense was the only part of this team that we still weren't 100% sold on, right? I think we're sold on the offense being dynamic and explosive. The defense was still something.
I wasn't concerned about the defense until Hutchinson went out, though.
Right. Yeah. No, but you know what? Look, I'll be honest. Even with Hutchinson, I had doubts whether this could be a lights out big game defense. Hutchinson goes down. Those doubts became worse. And then, you know, you see them still continue to win. And not only that, but continue to win after losing additional guys. I know Brian Branch will be back next week, but still, just to do what that defense did in Lambeau, I don't think that can be overstated.
I agree with that. And they made a big trade today, too, to shore up that defense, trading for Za'Darius Smith from the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, I love that move for them. Love that.
That's exactly. Yeah. So it's going to help fill that void that was left by Hutchinson. And who knows? Maybe Hutchinson comes back, you know, for the championship game or the Super Bowl if they make it that far.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Any thoughts, Justin, before we wrap it up about any of the trade deadline acquisitions? I think Za'Darius Smith was one of the big ones. The other big one, and I love it, is that the Commanders traded for Marcus Lattimore from the Saints, a four-time Pro Bowl cornerback. You know, I love that the Commanders are not stuck in this, oh, we have a rookie quarterback mentality, so let's play for 2027. Daniels is the guy. They know they've got something special. He's able to win right now as a rookie. Credit to Daniels. He's amazing. And the Commanders are surrounding him with a team that they can win with. I love it.
Yeah, totally. This Commanders team, they've been fun to watch. I think they've been fun to root for. I think they've exceeded all expectations, not only just Jaden Daniels, but the team in general. And I love that they added a much needed piece to that defense. Marshawn Lattimore is an awesome player. And I'm sure he's going to be happy to join a 7-2 team that just seemed to have a whole new set of life injected into him.
No question about it. No question about it. Huge win for him. He must be thrilled to get out of New Orleans, which is like going absolutely nowhere.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's a huge win for the Commanders because look, you're 7-2. You got a real shot to win, not only just make the playoffs, but a real shot to win your division.
They're still in play for the number one seed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're still in play for the number one seed. I mean, for the love of God, this is exactly the time to make a move like that. And to your point, I love that they did it. I love that they didn't just say, "Oh, well, you know, we're doing a little better than we thought, but we're gonna stick to a plan. This is, you know, we're not gonna go crazy just yet." And this ain't screw it. We're playing well. We're doing better than we thought. We're in this position. Let's go for it. And
I love the mentality. Yeah. I love it. And why not? Why not the Commanders? A wide open NFC. Detroit is clearly the best team in the NFC. I think you could have a pretty. You could make argument for like four or five teams as being the second best team in the NFC.
Yeah.
Point being, it's a wide open field. You know, Minnesota goes into Detroit in the divisional round and knocks them off. Is that inconceivable? And then all of a sudden you're the, you know, Commanders, you got Atlanta, the Eagles, you know who's left. It could be a wide open thing. So kudos to the Commanders for playing it capitalizing on this opportunity.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
All right, man. Any other thoughts from anywhere around the league before we wrap it up?
Cardinals and Rams. Cardinals and Rams. Oh, yeah. Just want to say the Cardinals and Rams look like, you know, that division is going to be super interesting. It's now a four-way race.
Yeah.
To see what happens out in the NFC West. And yeah, I think that's going to be a fun division to watch and four fun teams to see battle it out.
It is. And ironically, I think Seattle is probably the team I feel least confident about right now, to be honest with you.
Totally.
And they were in first place for most of the year until they lost the Rams week. Watch out for that Rams team. I mean, with the getting healthy and they got Matt Stafford, I got some talent on that team. Wide open division. I mean, I think they're still very much alive.
Absolutely agree. Totally.
All right, brother. Anything else before we wrap it up?
No. That'll do it for me.
All right. Well, we want to thank everyone that took the time to listen to this Around the League edition of the Ultimate Patriots Dr. Football podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Like us on Facebook, find us on YouTube, all the other usual places where you can get your media content. Want to wish everyone a wonderful week. Stay safe tonight. It is election night, and let it be said, Justin, this is an entirely election-free zone. This whole two episodes we just recorded until just now, election free. Come here, find us for an escape from the madness that'll probably ensue over the next couple of days. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.